David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and host of the Hawkins Here blog. And David, Congress back to work, both sides of the hill and both sides of the aisle. And it appears that we're about to see a decent amount of progress made, if all the potential plays itself out, on appropriations for fiscal year 2015. Am I off target there?
No. This is the time of year where they're really making some headway. The House has already passed four bills. They're on course to pass a fifth one this week. The defense bill comes to the floor probably Wednesday and could get done by the end of the week. The Senate is going to pass its first, it looks like they're going to pass their first bill in a couple of years, the first standalone bill. They've cobbled together three of the least politically problematic domestic spending bills into one package. And we'll debate that all of this week and maybe into next week. They've got an open amendment process, highly unusual. So for now, anyway, it looks like they're going to get somewhere, but it'll slow down soon enough.
Now, you say open amendment process in the Senate, and I take that from my understanding of Congress to be encouraging, because usually the argument between Majority Leader Reid and Minority Leader McConnell is over amendments. But if I understand it correctly, an open amendment process means any senator can introduce amendments whenever he or she chooses to do so. And that's the complaint that Senator McConnell usually has, that holds up the works. Do I have that?
You have that exactly right. The one word to add to this this discussion is the word germane. I should have used it the first time. Any germane amendment they will allow. That will leave them to debate the meaning of the word germane and how tangentially does a proposal have to connect to spending at the Department of Agriculture or Commerce or Justice or State or the other bills, the other agencies that are in this package before the Democratic leader says, sorry, it's not germane, and puts a parliamentary stop to things. But for now, there is a sense that both sides actually want to show that they can pass some bills this summer, and that they really may, both sides may do what they need to do to get this thing through late this week or early next week.
This, when we compare this to previous years, the fact that the House has four bills done and another one coming this week, and the Senate is in the process of essentially passing three, if I understand correctly, if
that's
they're
right,
combining those three into one, they're getting three of the 13 off their list. This is light years ahead of where we've been at this point in time in previous years, isn't it?
It is, and I, you know, the downside is, the only thing that counts is what the score is at the end of the ninth inning. You know, a bunch of runs on the board in the middle innings that don't really count. And there is the expectation that bills will stop moving across the floor of the House or the Senate by the time of the August recess, and after the August recess, after which point there are really only a couple of weeks left before they go home to campaign full time for the election. Off the floor, the committees are churning ahead on most of the other bills. I think by the end of this week, 10 of the dozen bills will have started moving on one side of the Capitol or the other, if not both. That's a pretty good sign. So they are getting things at least farther down the track than they normally have. There's all these transportation metaphors start getting tortured, but they're getting down the track, but the bus, and they're calling this thing the minibus in the Senate, but the buses will stall soon enough.
Your reference to germane amendments reminds me of one of my all-time favorite questions from an intern at a job that I held in a previous life, where we were talking about the concept of germane amendments, and this intern asked me why somebody in the United States Senate would introduce an amendment to a piece of appropriations legislation about a member of the Jackson Five.
That didn't actually happen.
No, I'd swear to you that happened. So I don't mean to suggest that we should be excited or satisfied that we're where we are in the appropriations process overall, just that compared to where we have been, as you and I have talked through what happens in the event of a shutdown and what happens in the event of this or that or some other catastrophe, we can at least take some measure of comfort that it sounds like we continue to have two parties and two chambers that are interested in averting catastrophe instead of confronting it.
I think they definitely are interested in averting catastrophe. I also think that if you're sitting in an agency or a department or a program that is not in the political election year crosshairs, and you know what the House Appropriations Subcommittee or the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee has in store for your program or agency or department for next year, you can be pretty sure that that's going to come true. The only question is going to be how close to October 1st will it come true? They're still talking about trying to get a couple of the lesser controversial bills done by October 1st. That would also be a big break from past practice. Then the big question mark is what happens to the bills that are held, how long does the first CR, the first continuing resolution, have to last? The short answer is from the start of October when they go campaigning into the lame duck session, which starts on November 12th. Then the question becomes, what will the election results mean for getting this process done? There are plenty of rumblings just off stage that the Republicans are saying that if they win control of the Senate, they will put the brakes on the entire appropriations process until after they actually take the keys to the majority side of the Senate in January, and then they will try and remake many, if not most, of the bills.
And that's something that they can do, kind of, they can retrofit them as they go along. That's not really good news for people who work at the agencies, though, who are trying to do their planning for 15.
No, I would think, I mean, whatever your politics, if you're more interested in planning for 15 than in the political outcome, then you are rooting for the same divided government to continue next year than this year, because that'll mean this process will wrap up sooner.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and hosts the Hawkins Here blog. And you're following this issue, too, with the legislation of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And as we talked about before we went on the air, this has people at the VA queasy, but it also has people inside other executive branch agencies queasy, because it doesn't seem it seems more of a stretch to get this legislation passed now than it does for future committees and future committee chairs to say, well, the VA has the ability to fire these people quickly. I want to give that same ability to the agency that I oversee so that I can demand the same accountability that Chairman Sanders and Chairman Miller are allowing for VA. And so that's making people really nervous inside the senior executive core across government. How does it look now as far as a deal on this issue? Because as it looks to me, the big issue is the number of dollars that will go to the health system and not so much these issues with employee firings and so on.
I think that's absolutely right. It does look as though the Congress will go through the parliamentary maneuvers they need to go through this week to get what the House has passed and what the Senate has passed into a conference committee. Those negotiations then could get started as soon as next week. They might be getting started sort of by the water coolers this week. I think the money is going to be a big deal. I think that as people who are really paying close attention to this know, the Senate took its big vote at essentially the same minute that the CBO is coming out with its incredibly expensive accounting for how much this bill would cost. I still think that there are going to be some Republican conservatives who blanch now that they're confronted with that number. This would be, talk about a slippery slope. I mean, some would say that this is this would be a change in the federal government's involvement in health care that is, if not on the order of Obamacare, then sort of merits a mention going forward. This would be a big change in federal involvement in health care. So the debate over that could bring the entire bill to a halt, but I don't think there's going to be much discussion at this point about the civil service protection element.
That's stuck in there then, and this comes down to a numbers negotiation, and that's the part of it that really makes people nervous.
I think that's exactly right, although the longer the negotiations go on over the numbers, the more opportunity people who want to change the firing language will have the opportunity to noodle in there and try and get a word in edgewise. So that dynamic could change as the fall wears on.